Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, August 6, 2014. The rebels insist they have not walked out of the peace talks in Addis Ababa. They just want direct talks with the government.
We are the champions of inclusivity. We are the ones who even have been pushing for inclusivity from the beginning, but it has to be a correct methodology that is followed, because right now there is a conflict, there is a war. So we want to have direct negotiations with the government to see how we can stop this war.
An anti-Kyiv rally is underway this hour in Washington on the last day of the U.S.-Africa summit leaders. We'll have more on this and other stories coming up on South Sudan in Focus. But first, we go to Addis Ababa. The peace talks are on a shaky ground once again, while President Kiir and top U.S. officials discuss the future of South Sudan in Washington during the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit. We have several reports for you today on the talks and the summit. We begin with a report from Nairobi, where rebel officials are defending their decision to walk out of the talks yesterday in Addis Ababa. Opposition officials demanded the talks be confined to two warring parties. The government says the opposition's move demonstrates its lack of commitment to engage in meaningful dialogue. IGAD is calling on the opposition to return to the talks, but the rebels insist there should be direct talks between the government and the rebels now. They say other stakeholders can have a say in long-term issues later. Lucy Pony reports for VOA from Nairobi.
In a statement released last evening, the mediators said the SPLM in opposition failed to attend the talks despite their previous commitment to an inclusive multi-stakeholder roundtable peace process and the modalities for comprehensive talks. Mabior Garang, the spokesperson for the opposition, says they want inclusivity at the talks, but insists the root causes of the war must be discussed and the war stopped before any broad-based talks take place.
We are the champions of inclusivity. We are the ones who even have been pushing for inclusivity from the beginning, but it has to be a correct methodology that is followed, because right now there is a conflict, there is a war. So we want to have direct negotiations with the government to see how we can stop this war so that we can have a more conducive environment in which what the stakeholders want to be done can be done.
Presidential spokesman Ateny Wek Ateny says the opposition's failure to respect their commitment to resuming the talks with other stakeholders has created confusion at the talks.
The fooling out of the rebels, you know, delegation yesterday was disappointing. It was their position that has led, you know, the whole mediators into pressuring the government to accept the fact that all other stakeholders has to be included in the talk. They are now coming back to our position. This is the position that the government was in back to January. We were saying if there has to be a peaceful negotiation, you know, between the government and the rebels, it should be confined between the two warring parties. This were our position. But when we were seen like if we were not flexible, and we were not, having seriousness of bringing peace to South Sudan, rebel were one of the people who were actually telling the well that it is the government which was not serious. Now the well is seeing them. They are the one who are not serious.
Ateny says the government delegation in Addis is under instruction not to return to Juba without reaching a peace agreement with the rebels, and the current impasse will not change that position. Garang says many people are now more concerned about forming a transitional government rather than ending the conflict because of the 60-day deadline, which is fast approaching.
When the mediation introduced the 60-day clause that the government of national unity should be formed within 60 days, it confused the situation within the peace talks, because originally it was not to be that after 60 days we pack our bags in Addis Ababa and we go back to Juba. What was to be discussed was what such a government would look like in the future, so that we can begin discussing those issues of reforms and things like that.
Mabior says it is a misrepresentation by IGAD that the opposition delegation walked out of the talks, adding that their committees are working on finalizing the matrix for the cessation of hostilities agreement. For VOA, I'm Lucy Pony reporting from Nairobi.
Philip Aleu contributed to this report from Juba. Meanwhile, an umbrella group of women organizations across the country are urging President Kiir and Riek Machar to show leadership by recommitting themselves to the talks and ending the conflict so that hundreds of thousands of displaced persons can return to their homes. The South Sudan Women Platform for Peace wrote a letter to both leaders urging them to agree to a lasting peace deal. Philip Aleu reports for VOA from Juba.
The women activists shared excerpts of the letter addressed to Mr. Kiir and Machar, whose reporters in Juba today. Angelina Boy is one of 50 women who signed the letter. Here she reads an excerpt of the letter to Mr. Kiir.
It should never take the whole world to scream at the top of their lungs and cry foul before you could put an end to this senseless war. Our request to you is to listen to the women of South Sudan and stop the war now. Our poor and innocent children, women and youth are denied life for reasons they do not know.
Boy says women and children have suffered for too long.
The use of extreme violence and rape as a weapon of war had never been our culture, and it is an abomination. Its use is absolutely a crime against humanity. Seeing our own infants and youth dead, rotting and being eaten by vultures, dog and other wild animals is heart-wrenching. We cannot ignore this any longer.
Since fighting broke out in December, the United Nations and human rights groups have documented many incidences of rape and ethnically targeted killings in South Sudan. Activist Dudu Sevid read from a section of the letter addressed to Machar.
As the women of South Sudan, we urge you to show leadership and to cease fire and commit it to dialogue to bring last peace in South Sudan. Stop the war. Enough is enough for killing, coming back, and let us build our nation. Open humanitarian corridor to allow us access to food and medication. Stop the war. Allow all IDPs go home.
1.3 million people have been displaced by the fighting, according to humanitarian agencies. They warn of a looming famine unless both parties reach a permanent peace agreement and displaced people are allowed to return to their homes. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleo in Juba.
South Sudanese communities in the United States are staging a protest at the Freedom Plaza against the invitation of President Kiir to attend the U.S.-Africa summit underway in Washington. Hundreds of South Sudanese chanted slogans denouncing President Kiir. Akube Ndoromo is one of the organizers of the Washington rally.
We are calling for SALPA to step down to give peace a chance, because without him stepping down, there will be no peace, because he accepted that the disagreement is within the Tiger Battalion. What makes him to go to Juba suburbs and they start to kill children and innocent people?
President Kiir is among 50 heads of state attending the U.S.-Africa summit. Rebecca Thau, a U.S.-based South Sudanese civil society leader, says Mr. Kiir should not be among the African leaders at the summit.
My name is Rebecca Thor. I'm a representative for Alliance for South Sudanese and Diaspora. I'm a director for the DC office. Well, today we're protesting the invitation that was sent to President Kiir by President Obama to come to the African Leader Summit. We feel like with the ongoing conflict in South Sudan, President Kiir should not be allowed to be invited to the United States due to the atrocities that were committed in December.
Another protester, Duok Dot, traveled long distance by road to attend the rally. He says he is in Washington to show the world that President Kiir is not welcome in the United States.
I am from Minnesota. Our message we want to tell to the world, we want Salva Kiir to go. He's a killer. He committed genocide. And how come he can continue to lead the country while he killed the people he want to lead?
Some of the voices of South Sudanese Americans demonstrating in Washington against the presence of President Salva Kiir at the U.S.-Africa Summit. We now go live to VOA fellow Nabil Biagio for the latest at the rally at Freedom Plaza. Nabil, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
You are right now at the place where South Sudanese are demonstrating. How many people are there?
Well, I'm here at the Freedom Plaza just off Pennsylvania Avenue in the southwest, in the northwest area of downtown D.C. I have a crowd of around 150 South Sudanese who came out of different states here in the U.S. Most of them are from outside Washington, D.C. I've been speaking to people who came from Nebraska, from Tennessee, from Minnesota and other states here. And they all have one united message. They're calling for the downfall of President Salva Kiir, and they're holding banners and placards that say Salva Kiir must go. Salva Kiir is a killer. He's a genocidal president. He's a Hitler. One extreme placard I've seen here has the portrait of President Salva Kiir, where you see his face attached to the body of a dog. So we have a very extreme and angry crowd here. And the location is very interesting because it's just across the street from JW Marriott Hotel, where President Salva Kiir and his delegates are staying. Some delegates have been arriving in their cars, and every time we get some, the crowd here boos them, and they yell at them, and at one point the cops have to come in and push them back into the area designated for them to rally at.
Well, Nabil, thank you very much for that update. That's VOA fellow Nabil Biagio reporting from Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., where hundreds of South Sudanese Americans are protesting the presence of President Salva Kiir at the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit. The Saad Institute is warning that any transitional government of national unity aimed at ending the violence in South Sudan must include President Salva Kiir and former Vice President Riek Machar. Juba-based think tank says without the two leaders, there will be no solution. Waki Simon Wudu has more for VOA from Juba.
The Sud Institute concludes in a report released this week that the international community should not support any deal on a transitional government for South Sudan that excludes President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar. The report says South Sudan's crisis is the result of a power struggle within the ruling SPLM party between Mr. Kiir and Machar. One of the models for a transitional government under discussion in Addis would exclude both South Sudanese leaders. But Dr. Jock Madud Jock, a policy analyst with the Sud Institute, says that scenario is not a good idea.
The international community may be tempted to join the call for the exclusion of both President Kiir and Riek Machar from a transitional government. This is indeed an enticing proposition, since both leaders are seen to be the cause of the current crisis. However, this is actually a trap that the international community should steer away from. The proposition is impractical because these leaders hold the key to permanent peace in South Sudan because they have got their constituencies.
Jock also warns that a power-sharing government between President Kiir and Machar will not work without a broad-based new constitution that includes several reforms.
Investigations into the atrocities that have taken place. Corruptions, insecurity, such as nepotism, such as lack of political space, they have to commit to them that they will do better. It would also be important to commit them to institutional reforms so that the Justice Department is reformed, the police force, the military, and the financial institutions are all set up in a way that there is an oversight.
Jock says both Mr. Kiir and Machar should know that neither will gain any advantage through military means. Both sides are being blamed for more than 10,000 deaths and more than a million displaced South Sudanese people due to the fighting. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Drinking fluids during hot weather is important for your health. It's best to drink clean water, milk or fruit juice to avoid dehydration. Drinking alcohol will not help you and can cause problems. Consuming a lot of beer, wine, or other alcoholic beverages can leave a person dehydrated, confused, and susceptible to injury. The signs of dehydration are dry lips and tongue, headache, or even dizziness. If fluids aren't replaced quickly, heat stroke or even heart problems can follow. So make sure you drink a lot of fluids, especially clean water.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry holds talks with President Kiir in Washington on what comes next for South Sudan. Stay tuned.
For all the latest in-depth news and analysis on the events in South Sudan, tune in to Voice of America's South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. You can email us at southsudan@voanews.com. We're also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That is South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you think should be done to support the arts and literature of your country?
What I think that needs to be done to promote art and literature is to involve these kind of activities into the curriculum so that children begin to study them right from primary and then to tertiary level. Also, there is need for cultural activities, such as weekend cultural events, where art can be promoted.
To support art and literature in the country, the government should make a syllabus from the primary to secondary school of the literature, English, and others to improve our children, grow with literature together.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The UN Security Council held a briefing today in New York on the latest humanitarian situation in South Sudan and a visit by the entire Security Council members to South Sudan next week. The Assistant Secretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, Edmund Mulet, read a report on the situation in Unity and Upper Nile states. Mulet's report cited incidents of SPLA blocking movements of IDPs and UN personnel in Bentiu. The report also accused the local authorities in Bentiu for not allowing UN flights in and out of the town. Mulet says the humanitarian situation in South Sudan has reached, quote, biggest aid operation inside any single country, unquote. The report said the UN has so far received 3,500 Saj troops for peacekeeping operation in South Sudan. South Sudan's ambassador to the United States, South Sudan's ambassador to the United Nations, Francis Deng, read a statement assuring the Security Council about his country's effort to end the fighting that has resulted into a looming humanitarian crisis. Secretary of State John Kerry met with IGAD leaders yesterday at the U.S. Africa Summit. After meeting Kerry said the leaders are scheduled to meet soon in Addis Ababa to issue what he called a final ultimatum to end the fighting in South Sudan.
And in addition to that, the United Nations Security Council will be visiting the entire Security Council next week to make it clear there is no other alternative except to proceed with the plan of these leaders that they have put on the table.
That's Secretary of State John Kerry speaking yesterday here in Washington, D.C. 64 Sudanese diaspora groups and U.S.-based think tanks are asking President Obama and African leaders attending the Africa Leaders Summit to take decisive action to stop genocide and human rights abuses in Sudan. Eric Cohen, the head of ACT for Sudan, a U.S.-based think tank with a mission of ending genocide in Sudan and signatory to an open letter to President Obama, tells VOA fellow Nabil Biagio, even though President Omar al-Bashir is excluded from participating at the summit, Sudan's rights abuses must be addressed at this week's summit.
The crises that have been going on in Sudan are very long-lived, and without the help of the African Union, African leaders, and the United States, there's little prospect that there will be change in Sudan. We've seen now 11 years of the genocide in Darfur and more than 3 years from the beginning of the most recent conflict in the Nuba Mountains in Blue Nile. And that's why Sudanese expatriate groups from across the United States and other Sudan activist groups from across the United States came together with this letter to President Obama and to every one of the African leaders who are at the U.S.-Africa summit, asking them to not just keep Sudan in their thoughts, but to make it a priority so that ending genocide and ethnic cleansing and mass atrocities in Sudan is a reality.
What specific actions are the signatories of the letter asking President Obama to take to resolve the issues in Sudan?
There is a lot that we could do to make ending ethnic cleansing and mass atrocities in Sudan a priority. So, for instance, although the UN long ago declared that there should be no military overflights and no bombing in Darfur, they continue on a daily basis. So it's time to act to prevent aerial attacks on civilians, either by actually supporting the no-fly zone that the UN Security Council authorized many years ago and extending it over the Nuba Mountains and Blue Nile, or by selective destruction of some of the government of Sudan's aerial assets by other means. In addition, they could work with the UN Security Council and the Department for Peacekeeping Operations to create, monitor, and maintain a truly effective force on the ground in Sudan to protect civilians. As you know, UNAMID has been a failure for all the years since it's been implemented. It's failed to protect civilians, and there has recently been the scandal publicized now about how UNAMID was looking the other way and underreporting incidents of violence by the government and its militias against the people. Another thing that could be done is to use all available and necessary means to persuade the government of Sudan to allow immediate and unconditional access for humanitarian assistance in Darfur, in Blue Nile, and in the Nuba Mountains. And if the government continues to fail to do so, African leaders and U.S. leaders should lead the international community and regional efforts to provide such assistance wherever it's needed in Sudan, even if Khartoum does not agree.
Mr. Obama did not invite Mr. Bashir to the summit, but also no Sudanese officials or representatives of any background were invited. Is it not a concern to the signatories of this open letter to Obama?
No, we were very pleased that Sudan was not honored by having a place at the table with the other nations of Africa. It does not deserve that place, and it should have to earn that place by respecting the human rights of its people and by ceasing its attacks on its people. And only then should it be readmitted to the international community in good standing. Until then, other African countries, the United States, Europe, all the international community should shun Sudan. And the only interactions we should have with the government of Sudan are strong negotiations to press them to end their attacks on their own people.
That's Eric Cohen, co-founder of the Act for Sudan, speaking to VOA fellow Nabil Biagi today from the eastern U.S. state of Massachusetts. In Warab State, government officials are now expressing support for recent calls by their Western Bahr al-Ghazal counterparts to have South Sudan's capital moved from Juba in central Equatoria to Wau in western Bahr al-Ghazal state. Earlier on, Warab officials did not seem to embrace the idea. But as we hear from Santino Manut in Kwajok, they have since come around.
The state's acting information minister, Nyanawud Mian Kwal, says the decision to support the relocation of national capital to Wau was reached in a fair council of ministers meeting called to discuss the idea on Thursday. Mian says there is good reasons to move the capital to Wau.
Juba has became very small and it is very congested. And we felt that if we have enough place in South Sudan, then we can go for that and develop those areas and we make more progress and we attract the people coming from outside, like the international investors who are willing to come and invest in South Sudan, so that they have enough place to do a lot of development in South Sudan.
In addition to more land, Mian says Wau is more secure than Juba, which he points out is located close to neighboring East African countries and has led to a jump in criminal activities in the capital. She appealed to other states' governments to join Warab in supporting calls for relocation of capital to Greater Bahr el Ghazal region. Kwajok resident Muriel Madut says he too supports the idea. He says relocating the capital from Juba to Wau will enhance the lives of citizens in the region because it will improve trade.
We are glad because if you live in the capital, you get access to goods that traders bring from places far away, and the local traders can buy them, and that will benefit the citizens of the state.
Youth have also welcomed the idea of relocating the capital to Wau. 30-year-old Yaidel says he believes once the capital is relocated to the Greater Bahr el Ghazal region, Warab jobless youth will have access to more jobs opportunities.
I'm so glad to hear this good news. If capital city of our country relocated to Wau, we will benefit because there will be organizations and also there will be a road from Wau, Wajok, and to other counties of our state.
Wajok resident John Eshien says Greater Bahr el Ghazal regions has yet to enjoy the fruits of South Sudan independence. He says that would change if Wau was the new capital.
I like that idea because we want government of national to be near to us as a Bahr el Ghazal so that our people could enjoy the independence. We are still not getting the right of independence.
Calls to relocate South Sudan capital to Western Bahr el Ghazal state was first made by State Governor Rizik Zekri Hassan in early July when President Salva Kiir visited the area, and since that time the idea appears to be catching on with most residents and government officials. For VOA News, I'm Santino Manuda Iwel in Kwajok, Warab State.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. The Ebola outbreak is showing new signs of spreading in Nigeria today, and Saudi Arabia is investigating the suspicious death of a man who traveled through West Africa. Nigeria's second confirmed victim of Ebola was a nurse who had treated a man gravely ill with Ebola last month. The Liberian-American man, Nigeria's first Ebola casualty, was hospitalized in Lagos after apparently contracting the deadly virus in Liberia. A fragile 72-hour ceasefire in the Gaza Strip held for a second day today as Israel and Hamas delegates gathered for talks in Cairo aimed at extending the truce. It is the longest pause yet in the month of fighting that has killed more than 1,800 Palestinians, mostly civilians. 67 Israelis, including three civilians, have been killed. And finally, NATO has warned that Russia could send troops into eastern Ukraine under the guise of a peacekeeping operation. A day earlier, the Western Military Alliance said Russia has significantly increased the number of troops on its border with Ukraine in recent days, bringing the total there to around 20,000. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Banda by Dis Majos. Listening to Dis Majos with the song Banda. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.